Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Well, folks, you got to count yourself lucky. We survived another weekend before the whole world collapsed and the government strangled us into complete tyranny. Well, we're pretty close to complete tyranny as it is, and that's why we go through all this stuff. As a matter of fact, it was one of the things we kind of covered in the television show I was on yesterday. Actually, it's the TV channel 24/7 or Patriot Soapbox 24/7 365 or live stream, whatever. Anyway, I'm sorry. It's a long term. I think the technical term or the name is Patriot Soapbox Live 24/7 365, something like that. Anyway, it's an awesome channel if you want to hear people talking about issues and so forth. And the fact that they let me come on to talk about solutions is really, you know, really helpful. The host that does that, because there are shows, there are hosts, just like on regular TV or what have you, there the host, you know, has a very specific focus, Second Amendment and so forth. So anyway, the host that actually brings me on to talk about solutions is Thumper. And so if you want to look up Thumper as the host, you'll find he's Monday through Friday. I want to say 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock, something like this, pretty early in the morning. And GR doesn't do good shows that early in the morning. Grandpa puts on a better show later on in the day, if you know what I mean. But anyway, one of the things I got a chance, and as we were talking just specifically yesterday, we were able to kind of dive into, you know, these different myopic groups and these different focuses and the solution of, you know, what we're trying to do. And it kind of made sense to Thumper when I really started laying this out, that as we create, because as we go through all of these issues that I'm going through right now with you in content-wise, such as property, such as the Electoral College, every single one of these aspects where the Constitution is not being followed, they become a petition or a series of petitions. What we need to do, and what we're doing, is we're literally creating an output that will be very similar to the 33 grievances, which was a comprehensive view. That's why we kind of call, and that's why specifically I've used that choice of words in, you know, titling this, because this is a comprehensive constitutional positions to campaign on for county, state, and federal elections so that the people know what needs to be done. If you campaign on them, if you make them public, then there's a good likelihood, a very good likelihood, that the people will want that to happen and come back to you and hold you accountable. Why would somebody campaign on doing something really good and then not do it? Well, the reason people would do that is because they're not really a good person. Or, you know, well, so being able to do it and trying to do it are kind of sometimes two different things, because one person alone can't make the change. But sometimes it's more of lipstick on a pig. In other words, they're just going out for the public and making a good show. But when they go back into the boardrooms or they go back into their chambers or wherever it is that they hide, then, you know, they'll make these other compromises. They'll do these dirty deals or what have you. Anyway, today's show is going to be very quick getting into our guest. I told you Friday that we were going to have Patricia Kent on today. And so we actually interviewed her last week regarding the Independent American Party and talking about what they're doing, how they're doing things. And I want to show you that there are parties that are actually a part of the solution. Wow, that's so important. I can't tell you how important that is. We all have to start looking at problems and saying, how do we fix this? Okay? So we've got her on today, and she's going to, I hate to say it, eat most of the content of the show today. Tomorrow, we're going to dive into content. We're going to get really, really close to doing common law, and we've got some, you know, more property to cover. And as a matter of fact, when we come back, I'll give you all the details, because I probably don't have time to dive through all of the little details that we have to go through, because we're dealing with property right now. We've done the right of conscience. We're getting into state property and resources. We're getting into personal property, intellectual property. Then we will get into common law. Okay, I did have time to say that. Great. That's what happens when you're succinct and concise, folks. You can actually get some things out there. Anyway, and I really, you know, I get told all the time that I get too much out there because it's, people claim that it's mind-boggling of all the stuff that I go through at a clip that I go through them at. Nevertheless, we're going into a promo, or actually, we're not even going to a promo. We're just basically using this to break to get us into the interview. Then we'll come back out of the interview with a break, and we'll have one promo, and I'll be back with you. Okay, folks, we have Patricia Kent, and she is the national chair for the Independent American Party. We've had her on before, and welcome back. And so, actually, one thing I may not have done, and I don't have from you, is if you could send me before this podcast goes out, or before I actually broadcast it on the radio show, because I pre-record these types of things, if you could send me the link to the IAP and other information, references, or stuff that you would like me to include, then my listeners can come to my website and go straight to the links, because a lot of people, believe it or not, are driving when they're listening, and or they're streaming doing something, so they're not necessarily capable of writing down links or memorizing them. And apparently, most people in the Patriot Movement have this thing called senior moments. And so they may not be able to remember everything, so they will come back and they'll listen. And one of the things I tell them all the time, make sure you write down the date of something that really strikes you so that you can at least download that podcast and listen to it again, take your notes or what have you, because I fire hose people with information, and it is, you know, it's not uncommon that they come, when did you talk about that? And I go, don't ask me. I cover a lot of stuff. And anyway, this is your time, and I want to make sure that we kind of avail this time for you. So what is it that you would like to bring up, or what is the focus that you'd like to talk about for the Independent American Party today?
My focus today is going to be on education.
Awesome. Awesome. I think that's important. So is there a problem we're trying to solve?
Which one? The biggest problem that I see is, and I will state for the audience, my motto is educate to liberate. And I have been working on that for many, many years, to educate people on the Constitution. My father used to say, if you don't know your rights, you're bound to lose them. If we don't know our rights, we can't stand up for them. I had the opportunity last night to visit with a gentleman who was arrested for being in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. Just for being there. He was not in the Capitol. He carried a flag, and he spoke to some people. And when they found out he was there, they had a picture of him, and they hunted him down. And I talked to him last night. Yesterday was his final sentencing. He received 3 years of probation and a fine. And I said, why did you plea bargain? You did nothing wrong. Right. You had no, you know, and he said, well, I just wanted to get it over. I truly believe if we educate ourselves on our rights in the Constitution, that we then will not allow the tyrannical government to take away those rights and put us in bondage in any way. And that's what is happening.
Right. So let me just inject real quick. I'd love to have that gentleman's name, and I'd love to talk to him on my show. And more importantly, I don't know what the charges are. That's kind of where I want to go down this path. And so I'm going down, and I'm quickly going down this rat hole as quick as I possibly can. Everybody that was arrested and charged at all, if they were arrested, even if they weren't charged or anything else, The fact is that there needs to be a countersuit against the federal government because they violated the rights of the people to petition their government. And they cannot create any laws that, that basically abridge the right of petitioning the government for the redress of grievances. And so what they basically just did was they said, you know, you did something that was constitutional, and we created a law that says you can't do that, and now you're on probation.
Absolutely.
And so I'd like to actually just slap them right back in the face and say, do you realize what you're doing? Anyway, go on ahead. I'm sorry.
So that's what I'm seeing everywhere. People are having their rights violated, and they don't know how to act. They don't know the law well enough to counteract the tyranny that is taking place. And so for the past 10 years, I've been actually going out with a friend of mine. I don't know if your audience is aware of Shauna Cox, but Shauna and I have been going out and teaching how to use the Constitution to stand for our rights. In order to do that, you have to go back to how did we get the Constitution? Why does it have in it what it has? And then how do we use it? If we know our rights, then we need to be able to assert enough knowledge to stand for those rights. One of the things that we try and teach people is you only have rights if you have three things. One, you have to claim those rights. Two, you have to use those rights. And three, you have to be willing to defend them. If you don't claim rights, you don't have them. And that's where we're at right now. People don't know them, and so they're not claiming them when they're being affronted with tyranny. Okay. And so our thing is, how do you change the paradigm that people have that it's the government, and we have to be submissive to whatever they say or do. And
Are you familiar with Welcome Back, Carter?
Yes.
Ooh, 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 ooh. Go ahead. Keep going. Yep.
Exactly.
So okay. Sorry.
The only way we can see to change that paradigm is to educate people. Right. And that's not going to happen in Washington, D.C.
No, and as a matter of fact, I think it's really important that we simplify that education. And as a matter of fact, I think that the most effective way of teaching people about the Constitution is placing the Constitution into context of a power of attorney. I think a lot of people do understand a power of attorney, and they understand the difference between a general power of attorney and a specified power of attorney. And so all you have to do is just take a couple of minutes to really clarify. If anybody reads the Constitution, they will realize that it enumerates roles, responsibilities, powers, and property. So in other words, it enumerates all things that the federal government has the authority and delegated by the states, this authority to exercise these roles, responsibilities, powers, and possess property. Only for these very specific purposes. So in other words, there, if anybody reads it, there is no general power. And as a matter of fact, the only time that there's kind of this reference to a general power is the General Welfare and Defense Clause, which is the preamble of Section 8 as well as the Constitution. And during, this is important, during the ratification debates, Governor Randolph as well as others constantly pointed to those preambles and said they do not provide any general powers, or they would have completely annihilated the necessity of listing the powers that follow. And the point is that the powers that follow supersede any general preconceived notion. In other words, these are the powers, not any general powers. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So in order to, I've had two big issues in my life that I feel like I have been driven to get involved in. One is to unite people to understand the laws and their rights and to bring that unity together to stand against wickedness and tyranny. And the other is to educate people. I am an educator. I taught school for 15 years. And it's been really interesting. I actually taught American government law in high school, and I am now witnessing some of those students not doing what they were taught, and it really irritates me. And in fact, I went up to our county commissioner and I said, you know, you weren't taught how to be a radical and a liberal. You were taught the Constitution and how to uphold it, and you're not doing it. So maybe you better go back and read it again, because you're on my list to unseat in your position.
Good.
We have to hold them accountable. It's interesting that some of our elected officials do things because they think that's what the people want to hear, but they really don't understand what they have done. About 8 months ago, our county commissioners actually declared Washington County, Utah, a constitutional county. And yet they are breaking the laws of the Constitution on a regular basis.
Right, okay.
So we need to educate our officials. They don't know it.
Right. And so what's the best way to do that?
That's a good question, GR. How do we educate the people on the Constitution?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
For one, we've got to do it on a grassroots level.
Absolutely.
We need to be doing it in our cities and our counties. We need to be doing it in our homes, in our schools, and our churches. I just went to a meeting last night on the school board. Uh-huh. And one of the issues that was brought up very firmly by the audience was our school district being able to set our own curriculum. And almost unanimously in that group, and there were over 100 people there, it was, we want government and the Constitution taught in our school district. We want them to know about our founding fathers. We want them to know the sacrifice that was made for us to become a free nation from Great Britain. We want them to understand the importance of the Magna Carta in relationship to the Constitution. And I just sat there and listened. I was amazed, because this is what we have been purporting as an independent party, is if we educate them, people will, they'll take over, and mm-hmm. they will demand those rights. So yep. we have started programs to educate. We have, in our area alone, we have 4 groups that are teaching Constitution. We have 3 private schools that is their foundation is Constitution. So we've got to look at, how do we get it out to the adults, the older people? I'm in my 70s, and in my entire life, I do not ever remember in school being taught about the Constitution. I remember, you know, the vague history of it and our founding fathers in passing, but never in my education system did we ever delve into the document itself and why the founding fathers put there what they did. Instead, what we get is, the Constitution is outdated, it's old, it doesn't apply to us today. So how do we respond to that? Because we all hear it. And we have to use those moments to educate.
Right.
Interesting.
So So we I think we talked about before about First Amendment petitions, and so I'll go back to that. And as a matter of fact, the First Amendment petition is something that has to be taught, and it's a concept that's easily perceived and, you know, digested by anybody, because it basically is the truth of what people believe is this American right of protest. Mm-hmm. Because people think that they have this right to rally and protest and get out in the streets and block sidewalks and shut down businesses, because that was a necessary, I'll say, a necessary violation of the law for the civil rights. Because when one looks at the 50s and 60s, and even going all the way back through this, you know, this volatile time from the Civil War till, you know, this unconstitutional Civil Rights Act that was passed in the 1960s, there was we boiled to a point where civil disobedience was necessary to drive home the tyranny that a class of people in America were living under. And so it didn't make it right, but it brought it to the attention of the American people, and the American people, I'll just say, kneeled, because they recognized that what we were doing was wrong, and it changed paradigms so much so that the Democrats had to regroup and then to convince and lie to everybody that they were the party of racial tolerance when they actually weren't. I mean, the deception that they constantly use is just amazing. But nevertheless, this concept of civil disobedience became ingratiated and actually somehow became a right, when in America's history, the Whiskey Rebellion, which was the first protest in America, 24 men were charged with treason and arrested, and two were convicted. You don't have a right to protest and block the rights of others and so forth. Your right is to petition government. Your right is to actually go into the halls of government, petition them for the redress of grievances, and they're legally bound by oath to support the Constitution and fix those grievances. And if they don't, then there are consequences to that. And so even though we don't have the financial relief of taxation, because that's one of the consequences that people, if you start reading about this, you go, wow, if we petition them and they don't do anything, we don't have to pay taxes. And we're in a position now where we don't even have the time to try to enforce that. But we do have the ability to actually put it in their face at your county commissioner level. And in a Republican form of government, I'll just say this, that your county commissioners are your local representatives who have taken an oath. And when you point out to them that the Constitution is being violated, whether it is at the county level, state level, or federal level, as your representatives, they're obligated to support it, because that's what their oath stated and requires that they say. And so they're legally bound in doing that. So when you tell them that the state's violating your rights, then they have to get in their, you know, their happy carriages and get themselves up to the state legislature to say, you guys are violating our constitutional rights as your representatives in a representative government. So putting the pressure on them and overwhelming them with all, you know, some people may call it nitpicking, but when you really start identifying the litany, this full broad scope of all these different violations that you have on them, not just on them, but on government itself, they will become overwhelmed and not realize the magnitude of the responsibility they have as public servants. And this is when you catch them with that deer stare in the headlights on the road. And this is when you pick them off and basically you replace them with people that say, I understand and I need to be the warrior for you in defending the Constitution and your liberties. And I think that becomes the educational process, because when you have somebody going in or out of the grocery store and you have them, you know, captivated by a sign that says, if you want to see the Biden administration completely removed in January 2023, sign this petition. Well, I believe most of the people in Utah would walk up to that table and say, what do I sign? And why am I signing this? And tell me more about this. And that is they open the door themselves to be educated.
Exactly.
So most people, forgive me, but most people are apathetic and they don't want to learn. But when you engage something that, you know, happens to captivate or at least have this little flame of passion, like what the Biden administration, shoot, we could get rid of them, then they're willing to learn and they're willing to put aside their apathy. And I think that the First Amendment petition is an awesome force in educating.
I agree fully. The only problem I see with that, GR, is the people who are already in the elected positions, mm-hmm. the majority of them don't care about you.
You bet.
And so when you petition and you send that petition of redress of grievance, they ignore it. They look at you like, so who do you think you are? Because they have now come to the idea, it's their mindset, that they are the authority. They are the power. And we, the people, are not intelligent enough to make our own decisions and to know what's best for us and to do what's right.
You know, you're right.
So they can tell us mm-hmm. how to do everything.
Right, you're right. But let me ask you this. Is there ever a point in time when your county commissioners need you?
Is there ever a time when what?
When your county commissioners or your sheriff needs you, the voters.
Yeah.
There you go. And so when you create this long list of grievances, it's this, you know, so Martin Luther created a long list of grievances that really smacked the church, you know, right in the face. But what you're doing is you're actually asserting your constitutional right. You're going to bog them down over this issue. This issue is, every time they try to have a meeting, you can actually shut down their meetings with a First Amendment petition of Ruth Redress's grievances. What they'll try to tell you is you only have 2 minutes. And then you say, if you're going to create a law that abridges my right of petitioning you, then you are guilty of violating my civil rights. And I demand the sheriff arrest you and throw you in jail. Because they can make no law that abridges that right. They can't say you only have 2 minutes. They can't tell you that you have to put it in this style. You have a right to actually orate and deliver whatever you feel. And as long as you're making your case of how they're violating the Constitution, they can't shut you down. And I believe that they'll try that. Let them defend all of this stuff in this upcoming election. The critical part in this education is not just educating the people, but you have to have a champion to challenge them to say, I will not turn my back on you. I'm going to tell you, the voters are going to vote for that person that won't turn their backs on him. It doesn't matter how much money's going into that other shill for the lobbyist. He will lose that election, especially these local county elections. Once we clean up the counties, the state is yours for picking.
Absolutely. And that's what we're working on is I said several years ago, I can't change the federal government. I can't really change the state, but I can change my county.
There you go.
And I will do everything I can. And we have been working really hard at that. It's been amazing the people that we have pulled out of the woodwork that are willing to stand up for the people and their rights and to fight. And we're getting them elected. And it was interesting last night at our meeting because it was a candidate meeting for school board. And it was very obvious just by the audience reaction who they liked. And it was that individual that was standing up for the rights of the kids, the rights of the parents, the rights of Americans.
Yep.
And demanding that they go back to the Constitution.
Yep.
And the laws that give us the freedoms that we have.
Right. There's no defense against the truth.
No. Absolutely not.
And when you're on the top of the mountain delivering that beacon of truth, they can't shut you down. No one can shut you down because, as far as I'm concerned, you have, I'll just say, the angels of heaven defending you. You just can't. It's like you're being thrown into the den of lions. You will not be devoured. You will be protected when you're doing those types of things. And so I see this, and that's why I say there's no way your county commissioners can even defend themselves. As a matter of fact, even your sheriff, if your sheriff is not willing to actually arrest your county commissioners for abridging your right, then you now have a petition against him, and then you can start petitioning him over a litany of other things of how he is failing to actually support, because whether we like it or not, even though these are inalienable rights, they're also civil rights because they are protected by the rule of law and our fundamental constitution, which is the supreme law of the land. Our right of petition is protected. And so we have this right to demand enforcement of it. And this becomes a crosshair that your sheriff, when he starts seeing people getting picked off, he's going to realize, you know what, I better be standing with these folks that are using the Constitution. Because one thing I've known about politicians, they're creatures of survival. And they will change their paradigms if they think it will help them. I would rather see them gone. And as a matter of fact, you know, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment is clear. If you're a public servant and you fail to support the Constitution and you educate people in this petitioning process and you include it in the petitioning process that they must step down, they're no longer eligible because they have failed to support the Constitution. When even if you come back and, you know, you petition them on all these other petitions to say you have failed to do all of these things, you were ineligible just on this on the 14th Amendment, Section 3, to be in office now. Step down. And the people will be right behind you chanting, step down, step down. Because that's the power of the truth and the supreme law of the land. Now, if they don't, it will be a brutal, I'll just say it will be a brutal loss for them at the election. And they will learn. And as a matter of fact, I believe that the champion to replace them and the other county commissioners should be campaigning on, we want to invoke the rights and privileges and immunities for the people to be able to invoke Section 3 at the county level so that if we're not supporting the Constitution as we take an oath to, then you have the power to remove us without due process. Because when you read Section 3, it doesn't allow any due process. It's not a trial or a conviction of a crime. It's an eligibility standard. If you violate your oath, you're not eligible.
Exactly. Anyway. Which pretty much pertains to everybody in office right now.
Absolutely. That's right. And so I can't say enough about trying to get these petitions. So I'll reference it. I've been talking about this. I've sent it to you before, and I've sent an update. And in this campaign or the Bill of Rights for 2022 or these things that I've laid out in identifying all of these different violations, we're actually injecting the petitions that go with these things. So in other words, the Electoral College or elections and election laws and making all elections local in a Republican form of government in voting. And we just got into the monetary system and how the monetary system and our money itself is violating the Constitution. And so, you know, we want to give you hundreds of petitions so that you can actually make your county commissioners focus on your rights as citizens instead of them trying to invoke laws, ex post facto laws, bills of attainders and punishments, and other inflictions of tyranny upon you.
Right. And I have been going through that material, and I'm excited to really get into it and understand it myself, so that we can teach that and give it to the people to use. One of the things that that we are doing as an independent American party is reaching out to the people to find out how we can help them. We have set up Facebook sites on all 50 states. And we are going to start putting out their educational material on the Constitution, on how to address their grievances. And again, it goes back to education. We have to be able to have a forum to get it out there. You have the podcasts, and you now have a following. We want to take your podcasts and make them access accessible for those that are following us. And other podcasts from other freedom-loving people to help educate. We can't do it all. You can't do it all. But again, it comes into uniting. How do we unite all of our like-minded forums so that people can learn?
So,
and at the same time, not be overwhelmed at what's out there.
So I'm not sure if I've ever gotten into the details of our efforts currently in monetizing Reclaiming the Republic and actually expanding it into a network of interfacing with the public at the county level and so forth. And I think it's worth having a sidebar conversation on that. But one of the things that, you know, I believe we actually have talked about, not necessarily maybe in the last interview, but I am working, and I would love to do, because I think uniting and getting people to actually get in the room and have the conversations to talk about what we need to educate is really, really critical, because when I look at the Hillsdale College, when I look at all of the institutions out there, they're not teaching the truth. They're not challenging, you know, things that are blatantly unconstitutional, and they're actually, you know, they're helping in perpetuating a perverse interpretation of the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And so I would love to see actual education that is founded, because we don't have to go into editorializing as they have done over the past two centuries that have wandered us so far away from the truth of the Constitution. I believe that we can actually use the founders' words during the ratification debates, who actually, as they actually provided the terms and definitions of the Constitution, using those things, we can actually, I'll just say, put aside or actually just destroy any preconceptions that they have created over the past two centuries of editorializing that, the framers, were they're all slave owners, but, you know, they got over that. Well, no. Actually, in the Constitutional Convention, they actually had it as they eradicated the Constitution. And then three states, the Carolinas and Georgia, came up and said, if you do this, we'll leave. And they were forced into a very specific compromise because they made a huge mistake in thinking that the Union needed those southern states more than they really did. And basically, Mason's proclamation of the Civil War came true. Anyway, but I would love to work with the IEP. I'd love to work with other constitutional organizations, whether that be the Constitutional Party. One organization I am working with is the Constitution Association out of California. And as well as the National Liberty Alliance, as well as the We the People Foundation. So I always see myself as a unifier, and I'm trying to get people, because I don't want to be the king in saying this is what we have to teach. I think that when we all get into the room and we start putting the subject matter down and how to teach it, we'll have a much better curriculum.
I agree. And I would love to be a part of that.
Awesome. Awesome. So I guess the process within the party is to create a subcommittee and create a chair to that subcommittee that we actually work with. If you do that, I will interconnect that chair to the Constitution part or the Constitution Association and other groups so that we can actually start doing this, because there's that teaching. But let me put the horse in front of the cart here. Before we can actually teach the Constitution, we have to definitize it. And what I mean by this is there's a lot of people that do not understand, and they're constantly listening to the Supreme Court and the federal government as they cite the annotated Constitution and their interpretation of how they can do what they want to do.
Yeah.
And so we have to definitize exactly what the Constitution is. And when they start quoting and using their annotated Constitution, they're actually injecting the perverse terms and definitions that have no truth. They have no anchor in the Constitution. So definitizing it, I think, is the first body of work. And then the education can come out of that, because once we definitize it, we'll have all those terms and definitions. And I can explain this later. I don't want to, we got about 4 minutes left. So I just want to, I love this. I want to get involved. I want to help. And let's do this. What else can we do?
I guess that's the big question. How do we do it? How do we go about it? And I think you've touched on that by pulling these groups together and defining what it is that we need to do, and especially step by step defining the Constitution and how we go about teaching it. It's interesting in the groups that we have been teaching the Constitution to, when they understand that the strength in the Constitution really goes clear back to the Magna Carta. And you start talking about the Magna Carta and they say, well, what does that have to do with the Constitution? It has everything to do with the Constitution. And so when you start learning about that and then teach them, actually physically teach them how to claim, use, and defend their rights, they start saying, well, I had no idea. Because in order to teach them how to do that, you have to teach them about those who have taken those rights away from them and right. how to combat that.
Correct, correct. As a matter of fact, it proves the adage, knowledge is power. But knowledge doesn't become power until it's acted upon. In other words, your rights do not become your rights until you're willing to stand up and defend them.
Yeah. Samuel Adams said, if virtue and knowledge are diffused among the people, they will never be enslaved. This will be their great security.
Yep.
That's what it's all about. But I think one of the key words in that statement is virtue. We've got to go back to a moral fiber, which we have lost in this nation.
And if I can inject, the reason we've lost that is because the federal government has assumed a role and responsibility and power it doesn't have. We have to get the federal government and state governments out of a theocratic position, because they're teaching godless secularism and they're demanding all become a part of their flock. And so we have to free the churches, because I believe it's the churches and it's their responsibility to provide compassionate services and the salvation of mankind. It's not right. government's job. There's nowhere in the Constitution that's delegated the authority and power of any government to actually save the people of the state and or this nation.
Right. Well, and that's the problem. Our government has gotten to a point that they try to control every facet of our lives.
Yes, every they facet. Do. Yes.
It's so bizarre to me that they think they literally have the power to keep us from taking our own life or to take our children away from us. Because we had an instance just not long ago where a baby in Idaho was taken away from his parents because it had diaper rash. Tell me what baby has never had diaper rash.
Right, right, right. Well, so I hate to do this, but we're running out of time. And so what I'd love to say is I'm thankful that we can do this once a month. I think that this conversation could actually lend, more, frequently. And having these conversations, I think, help everybody hear, this cognitive power that emanates from these alternative parties other than the Republican Party. That the Independent American Party actually understands. And as I tell people, if you build it, they will come. Or if you go out and lead and you start acting, they will follow. People follow leaders naturally. And when you lead, that's what's going to happen. And I see the IAP as a true leader and having awesome potential, folks. Anything else other than I beg you that you send me all your contact and the other information that we want to provide to the listeners regarding the IAP. And I can't wait to have you back. I hate to cut this so short because these things can go on and on. But believe it or not, we've kind of covered about 40 minutes here. So,
right.
Is there anything else?
I am happy.
I'm sorry, you broke up. What was that?
I said, I am happy to come on and share the Independent American Party ideals and philosophies and let you know how we're striving to improve the liberty in this nation and to get back to the umbrella of the Constitution in governing we the people.
Right. And I think actually, as if we start working together on definitizing and educating and these unified efforts, I think that is a form of leadership, and I think people will actually see this, and they will want to get involved. I believe that people in the Republican Party, the reason they join the Republican Party is they want to do those types of things, and then they realize that they don't even have any voice or say, and they're being dictated, that they just got to get their guys in, and they get lost in what they really joined, the real purpose they joined for is totally lost to them. And so... Yeah. I believe that this actually will help, you know, both the Constitution and the IAP coming on here and helping people start realizing that there's actually parties that are willing to do stuff to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem.
That's why we say we are the solution party.
There we go. Folks, thank you so much, Patricia, for coming on. And as a matter of fact, we look forward to having you on again. And again, just... if you want to give us all that information, we'll get that up on both my podcast page and our other links page so that people know where to go when they're looking for Independent American Party, you know, contacts and or so forth. And I you guys are forthright in letting people know who to contact and so forth. So I think it's great. Usually when you see a party hiding their leadership and contact information, that kind of speaks to, you know, their standing. But anyway, any parting shots?
I just pray that all of us will turn to the one that can heal this land.
Yes.
Who is Jesus Christ.
There we go. Thank you so much for your time. And with that, folks, we will be right back after this quick outbreak, and we'll kind of sum up more information for you. And so please stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Well, I can tell you this. I can tell you that everybody is busy, and everybody has a lot of things on their plates and trying to get things done. And so GR is equally busy. I can't do everything, but I do... And I'll get into these petitions and how we're spread loading this and how we can do this efficiently and effectively in parallel. There's a lot of things that can be done in parallel. If you understand processes, a serial process is when you have to do this step first, You have to put your sock on before you can put your shoe on. Now, you don't have to put one sock on, then the other sock on, then the shoe on, and then the next shoe on. As a matter of fact, this drives my wife crazy. And everybody has these little, you know, why we do things, right? Well, I do it because it's efficient. This is how I put my socks and shoes on, just to give you an example of trying to be as efficient as possible when you're doing a process. And so as I talk about this, it'll help you understand how you put your shoes on. If you put your sock on while you've got your foot up on whatever, a little bench or a little stand, or you're sitting down on the ground, or however you put your socks and shoes on every day, when you put your hands on the sock and you now put your foot in that same sock, while you have your shoe right there, putting that shoe on with, after you've done the sock, keeps you from having to lift that next foot up and then put it down and then lift that same foot up after you put the second sock on. So in other words, it kind of takes an extra step or two steps out of this process by not having to exchange your feet up onto the step. Now, my wife, and I've really crossed a bloody line. This may really be the cause of my death. Because you're not supposed to talk about personal things, but I'm using this as an example of how, if you think about putting your foot and there's reasons why it's just a faster, a little quicker process. Is it best for me? Yeah, absolutely, it's best for me, but it may not be best for you. But my point is, a serial process requires each step to be done before the next step can be done. Parallel processes allow multiple processes to be done simultaneously. Now, most of us can't do parallel processing, as far as actually doing five things at once. Now, you can do a few things, like you can throw the clothes in the washing machine, you can throw something in the oven to bake, and while some things that take time, you can do other things during that time. That's parallel processing. Getting all of these petitions we need to do this in parallel processing. As I disclose this to the audience this weekend on TV, that what we want to do is, have each basically assign each county with a petition and help them, because bottom line, yours truly, and I'm hoping to get Bob Schultz and some other good experts into the mix so that we can actually start helping, that we have a good, solid petition that you originate, that'll originate out of you. Now, and as far as we're concerned, if you do the initial work and you do this, then your organization should have, okay, this is the organization that basically created this template, so that we can kind of identify all the different organizations out there that are stepping in and contributing in this war in taking back our Constitution. This will be history, folks, as your names or at least your county names are identified as rising up. And as you continually contribute and as you continually get involved, you will also be noted both for all of the things that you and your organization does. So as we have 20 groups to become 40 groups, to become 60 groups, this gives us the opportunity to get a lot done. And it's really hard to get people to start getting engaged and start sharing the load. But once we start sharing the load, watch out. And we're beginning to do this. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am
trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.